I think we're settled. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles, please, and we're going to open to James chapter 1. We're going to consider some things regarding becoming doers of the word. That's really the point of God's word. And its point really is to develop a relationship with God, to see him, his heart, what he's accomplished in Christ. And we're going to look at some things along those lines. There are those who, pursue the study or the knowledge of God's word in a more academic sense, without really living it, without really making their own. And we're going to see that can be deceiving. That can be a deception. Where I account the reading of God's word or the study of God's word or whatever as my relationship with God. It's part of it. It's a necessary part. But that's not the end of it, see? And, what we're going to see, really simply put, is it's when we walk out on what God's word says, when we really take it to heart, that's when then the words that are on the page become manifest in your life, see? And, and it's pretty exciting. We heard manifestations. Neglect not the spirit that is in you. It's a new life. And we're going to see this morning, we're going to look at some verses, and you guys know this stuff, but it's so good to be reminded of this, how that the flesh profits how much?
Nothing.
Sometimes we want to insert that flesh like it's, like we owe it something. We don't. We got a whole new life, whole new thing going here. So, to begin, I want to start here in James, and we're going to, we'll pick it up in 17. The last time we were here, we read down to verse 19. This was a few weeks ago. We were looking at trying of the believing, trying of our faith. And we see in verse 12, and it's such a great key to enduring. And it simply reads, "Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised," or he hath promised, "unto them that" what? "That love him." See? And that love of the Lord Jesus Christ is such a big key to what we're looking at this morning. That is what will help you to endure. Those times where you're doubting, or those times where, the world or your own flesh, it seems to be too much. It seems to be too difficult to overcome. Those things that come up. It's that love of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to jump down. We're going to pick it up in verse 17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures," or created beings. Verse 19, "Wherefore," because of this, "wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak." Great advice. when I was little, I was told, I think it was an aunt, "You got two ears and one mouth. So you ought to be listening twice as much as talking." Right? I read this thing, I got a kick out of it. How this guy won an award for being silent in 7 different languages. You know, there are some records. I'm just going to take a moment here. Here it concerns the wrath of man, anger, a lot of talking, rather than listening. But there are some records in the Word. You guys, I think you'll be familiar. I got turned on, but there's a record of Samuel, the prophet Samuel. And Israel came to him and said they wanted a king. And Samuel said, you know, God's been your king. Well, we want a king. And, I mean, it's pretty obvious, and you see it very clearly as the record goes on, how Samuel felt about that. But that's not what he said. That's not what he shared. He went to God and said, what do I say? And God told him, say this. And that's what he did. There's records of Jesus Christ. I think it's in John 5. I don't recall offhand. Where he says, I have many things to judge of you, but I only speak that which I hear of my Father. Right? Not my own will, but whose? Yeah, yeah. And what happens is when we're quick to speak, quick to fix, quick to, a lot of times God ain't in it, right? And so we just learn to listen. We learn to be quiet. Make sure I understand. See, I mean, it's just a great practical habit in learning how to do that. Because the flesh is, you know, boom, shall answer, man, baby. Right? Yeah, and it's like, yeah. Anyway. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and, King James is great, superfluity of naughtiness. It basically means an abundance of wickedness. And wickedness is those things that are contrary to the Word of God. Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls or make whole your lives. Okay? To receive with meekness that engrafted word, and that word engrafted, I think most translations handle that as implanted. Which is a good translation. It's made up of 2 words, in and a word for like produce. Okay, so implanted. When the word is implanted in a heart, then what we do comes from the inside out. The change comes from the word being implanted in the heart. Then it's honest. Then it's out of love. Then it's out of relationship with my God. And what God is after is the heart. Do you remember over the weekend, one of the things we just briefly considered was the sower and the seed? You know, those different kinds of ground. And we allow that word to be implanted. And we allow it to grow. And which it will. We tend to it. We care for it. We watch over it. And that word will begin to produce. It'll begin to produce. Receiving with meekness the engrafted word or the implanted word, which is able to make whole your lives. And then verse 22, Be you doers of the word and not hearers what? Deceiving your own selves. Isn't that something? There's some examples of this. We're gonna finish this in a moment, but I want you to turn to the Gospel of John. And you guys are familiar with these, but it's something to think about. Gospel of John, chapter 5. Let's pick it up in verse 30. Verse 30 says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Now that was according to the Mosaic law. There is another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth, but I receive not testimony from man. But these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me, and the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Now he's talking to the Pharisees, to the religious leaders, to the ones who were doing the teaching. And you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him you believe not. Then he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Isn't that something? And you will not come to me that you might be saved. That word of God that these men studied, that these men taught, did not live in them. Isn't that something? Their whole lives devoted to the study, really, and to the protection of the scriptures, the Pharisees. And that word did not live in them. Right? You know, Jesus Christ taught about these guys in Matthew. Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. In another place he said, do what they say. Don't do what they do. Because they weren't doers. And because they weren't doers, the word of God did not abide in them. They knew it. They had things memorized. They could do those things, but it didn't abide in them. And that's what I want to get to, that word abide. We're going to look at one more place where it's used. And you guys are familiar with this too. John chapter 8. Well, maybe we'll look at a couple. Yeah. Here's another discussion with these religious leaders. But there were others that were around. Okay, now we're not going to read this whole thing, but I just want to pick it up in verse, let's pick it up in verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue, and that word continue is that word abide. If you abide in my word, then are you my disciples indeed? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. They hear the word, and what Jesus Christ is telling them is that if you abide, you continue, you take up residence in this word, then you'll be my what? See? Because when you take up residence in it, when you live in it, then the word ends up abiding, living in you. See? And that disciple isn't one who knows what Jesus says. That disciple is the one that is transformed or changed by what Jesus says and then lives accordingly. See? And that takes abiding in. That's in the heart. It's from the inside out. It's not a show. It's real. There's another one, one other place, and we're just going to look at one more on our way back to James. Another familiar record. John 15, I'm not going to teach this record, but this is the record of the vine. How that I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. We're going to pick it up in verse 4. It says, abide in me. That's that word. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you what? Abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Let's not ever forget that. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth what?
Much
fruit. And again, just in light of what we've considered here, that abiding and what it is. It's where it takes up residence. It lives there. It's not just knowing. It lives there. And that one that I abide in and abides in me, the same will bring forth what? Much fruit. You know, that implanted word, and it's really, you know, again, I think of that parable of the sower and the seed. It is a building a relationship and a loving of the Lord Jesus Christ and our Father. It is not a pursuit of fruit. You know, the fruit will produce just fine on its own. See. And it's a byproduct of the word living in our heart. It's a byproduct of, and that's what doing the word comes from, is it abiding in my heart. Otherwise, it's just hypocrisy. Okay. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be what? See, that's powerful. That ask what you will, and it shall be done. It's preceded by my words abiding where?
In you.
Right. And you know what the desires of your heart will line up with? He shall give you the desires of your heart. It's pretty simple, isn't it? See? And it all comes back to building. Right? Not worrying about the rest, building. Let's go back to James. And then we'll finish up here. Okay, sounds like a pretty good time in Children's Fellowship. All right, verse 22. But be doers, doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving or cheating your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man who beholds his natural face in a glass or a mirror. You know, he sees. He's seeing it. He's seeing who he is. He's seeing it. He beholds himself and then goes his way. And straightway, he forgets what manner of man he was. And again, this reminds me, you know, of the sower and the seed. It's that lack of a true foundation or a lack of real root. Allowing the word to take root in your heart. Taking time with it. Taking time with your Heavenly Father in prayer. You know, when we go to the Word of God, we have the Spirit of God. God's with us. He'll teach us. The Psalms are loaded with that. Teach me thy precept. Teach me thy law. I'm an idiot. Help me. Right? Which is pretty cool. So he beholds himself, he goes his way, he forgets what manner of man he was, but whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man, this very same man, you could translate this, shall be blessed in his deed. See? That's the result, that being blessed in his deed is the result of him living in who he is. Living in who he is in Christ. When we become a doer of the word, those things that have been given us by the great grace of God that Jesus Christ accomplished for us, you know, like grace, you know, so many things that we have in Christ. Righteousness. The access to God that we have. It's in doing the word that you see and manifest those things in your life. It's one thing to read about the grace of God. It's another thing to taste it and experience in real time. Now it's real. See? And it's like that with so many of the things that Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. If any man among you seem to be religious or devoted and bridles not his tongue but deceives his own heart, that man's religion or devotion is empty. Pure religion or clean devotion, undefiled devotion, and undefiled before God and the Father is this: visit the fathers, the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Okay. Is to get your eyes off yourself and serve others. Isn't that something? And then to keep yourself unspotted from the world, because that kind of alludes back to earlier in this chapter, those temptation. And that temptation is the structure and the organization of this age, of this world, meeting your flesh. Both corrupted. See? Do you understand? And so that temptation is, you know, that lust that proceeds from the flesh, those desires, those things that the flesh wants. See? But we grow in loving our Lord Jesus Christ. And we get better and better and better. And the things that stopped me cold in my tracks 20 years ago don't stop me now. You know, and many of you can say the same thing. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians real quick. We're almost done. I just want to read a couple other scriptures in light of this. Being doers of the word. We're going to go to 1 Thessalonians. And this is sort of an amazing thing here, because the longest that Paul, Silas, and Timothy, The absolute longest period of time they would have been in Thessalonica would have been about 3 weeks. It was likely a little less than that. But let's just say they were there for 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Let's pick it up in verse 2 of chapter 1. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of believing, labor of the love, and patience of the hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in Holy Spirit and in much or complete assurance. Isn't that something? It came not only in word, but it came in power. That's because it's God's word. It's God's word. He wasn't convincing them. You remember some of the things we looked at in Corinthians a few weeks back about world wisdom versus wisdom of the word or the wisdom of God. He wasn't coming them with his great oratory skills or intellectual ability, which was so admired in these cultures. But he spoke God's word. He spoke the gospel regarding Jesus Christ, and there was power behind it because he had the Spirit of God. So it wasn't just saying words, it was saying words at the right time. You know, you can read about this. When he got to Thessalonica, 3 Sabbath days, he reasoned with them out of the scriptures. He shared the scriptures with them, you know. And, well, we'll read it. And you became followers or imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of Holy Spirit. Man, they became imitators of Paul and the Lord. And you know, and this imitators, and I think you understand this, but it's a heart thing. It's not imitating, you know, mannerisms or the way they walked or all that stuff, but it was the heart. They got it. In this short amount of time, so that you were made an example to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your believing or faith toward God is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Isn't that amazing? In that short amount of time, these believers, the word of God sounded out from them. I just want to read one more verse, and it's in chapter 2. Verse 13 reads, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the what? The word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe." It effectually works. You know, it's energized. The word of God is energized when it's mixed with believing. There's a record in Hebrews, chapter 4. Let's read it real quick. Ephesians 4. Or Hebrews 4.
Can I take the what verse?
Well, you might know better than me because I'm not sure yet. How about, we'll pick it up in verse 1 of chapter 4. We're just going to read a little bit here. I think some of you or most of you are probably familiar with this. But this is the record it's prior to this in chapter 3. It is regarding Israel going right up to the edge of the promised land. You can read about it, I think it's in Numbers. And it was this at Kadesh Barnea. And God had said, it's yours, go in and take it. God had prepared it. He had kept his eyes on this land from day one, all the way back to the days of Abraham. He made sure it was watered. He made sure all this stuff was done. And he promised Israel this land. I've given it to you. Wells you don't have to dig. Houses you don't have to build. Cities done. Fields furrowed. Grapes this big. It's yours. It's all been accomplished for you. This is how you want to take care of them. And so they decided to send spies in. And there were 12, one from each tribe. Two came back, Joshua and Caleb, and came back with a good report. It's ours. Let's take it. Let's do this. Look at the size of these grapes. You know, and then you had the other 10. And they just, it was an evil report. And it was evil because it was contrary to what God had given them, what God had told them to do, what God had told them to go in and take, because he had given it to them. And they came back and, you know, here's giants, giants of Anakin, I think it was. We are but grasshoppers in their sight. You know, and the land eats up the inhabitants. It's a horrible land. It's really hard to live in it. So much so that the whole nation of Israel wanted to kill Moses for like the third time. And then you've got Joshua and Caleb. And so that's what this is referring to. And the rest that is being referred to that was offered at that time was this promised land where they could just simply walk in and take it. See? Where they didn't have to labor for it, build it, start from scratch. So they didn't go in. And it was because of unbelief. And verse 1 says, let us, and this is written to, you know, those of Jewish background, let us therefore fear or reverence. Let's have respect on this thing. Lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Don't do what they did. They didn't reverence what God said. They didn't respect what God said and what God had given them and what God had promised. So they fell short. And they end up wandering in the wilderness for the next 40 years. Isn't that something? And what the exhortation here is don't you do that. Don't you do that. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, referring to Israel in the time of Moses. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with believing in them that heard it. I think most translations handle this not being united in believing with them that did, referring to Joshua and Caleb and Moses. But it's still the same. It wasn't mixed. They didn't believe it. And so they fell short, because it wasn't mixed with the believing. The point here being is that it's the word of God that is living. It's the word of God that will quicken you. It'll divide between joint, marrow, spirit, soul. It's the judge and discerner of the hearts. It goes on later to say later in this chapter. See? And that rest is in Christ. It's in what has been made available in Christ. But unless we allow it to abide in our hearts, unless we take up residence in it, we won't live in that rest. Even if we're born again, God will keep working. He'll keep nudging because he's just so amazing, you know? But there are Christians that today, they just don't make the word their own, you know? And so they try and fix the flesh. They try and we just don't want to get into that. We don't want to be that, you know? We let God do his thing. We let God work. We let the word do his thing. We help one another to stand on God's word. We help one another to love. We help one another do all these things. It's the greatest thing we can do for one. That's the point of the fellowship, I think. Right? So, you know, really the takeaway, I think, in the understanding here is the time that we spend in God's word, it's not, the goal of it isn't what you know, but it's getting to know your Heavenly Father and your Lord Jesus Christ. You know? So it really is, we can't lose sight of the relationship side of this, because that's like, that's a big deal to the Father. He's after the heart. Amen? Amen.